And joining us now, she visits us every month, is the superintendent of the NOPD, Chief Ann Kirkpatrick. Chief, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Sheriff? Thanks for having me.
Doing fine, Chief. Wanted to give you a few moments to kind of let this audience know about the state of the NOPD, what trends you're seeing out on the streets, what you're comfortable with and what you're uncomfortable with.
Okay, great. Thank you. Well, our trend rates for crime going down and most every single category is still on track. So my morning stats, just a few, just to explain, our murders are down, continuing to be down 22% from last year. You know, armed robberies are down 31%, fatal shootings are down 40% and so forth. So we're seeing a continual trend, although the month of August, we were up in shootings versus the same month last year. So that's always troubling anytime I see any rise of violence.
Let's pivot real quick to funding. We've heard a lot from Councilman Joe Geruso on the budget committee relative to the overtime spend by the NOPD. What is the state of the state relative to your finances?
Yeah, so there is a deficit, and of course, with the police department and fire departments will always be the largest departments on any city budget roll. We did spend a considerable amount of overtime, particularly after the events of January 1. My position in it is that I am a steward of the city's money, but at the same time, it is the cost of business to keep people safe, and I will not be penny-pinching when it comes to the needs to make sure I have enough officers out on the street. And if it's overtime, it's overtime, and I'll take my spanking if I go over any budget allotments, because your safety is number one. But that's the issue at hand.
Is that an approach that you think the council is going to be receptive to?
I think so, because no matter who you are, you want to be safe. And because we are low staffed, I still have to meet the needs of having officers present. And therefore, because I don't have the full complement of officers we need, I have to fill that assignment with overtime. And I think they do understand that. They haven't been harsh. It's just the issue of, hey, we have a budget and you're outside of the cost of that. But they understand. They're looking for a good stewardship. I think I'm a good steward, but I'm not going to be, as I said, I can't reiterate more. I'm going to do what I have to do to make sure I have the necessary assets out there for people to be safe.
It's kind of interesting to me, though, one of the things that they cut is street lighting in the neighborhoods and such. I know when I was sheriff, I was a big advocate of making sure that those lights were repaired, that they stayed repaired, that they stayed maintained. That's got to be a little troubling.
Well, environmental design matters. Lighting matters. Blight matters. It all contributes to the realities of safety as well as perceptions of safety. So environment matters. And I think we all need to be mindful of the impacts of lighting in particular.
Yeah, when you talk about blight, you know, I think there were, in the aftermath of Katrina, roughly 34,000 homes that were blighted in the city of New Orleans. I'm hearing that number is in the low 20s. Is that something that you guys are tracking?
Yes, actually, thanks truly to a very good partnership with the district attorney's office. Jason Williams has an attorney assigned to blight, as so does the city have an attorney who's assigned to nuisance properties. I'm using the term blight, but these are nuisance properties. I believe I was reported yesterday by a captain in the 5th District that two houses have now been demolished that were havens for drug activity. And so that's what we mean by dealing with blight. So, again, thanks to No Dice, which is a program that Jason Williams' office has engaged in and works with us in partnership on it, we can address blighted, those attract criminal behavior, and that's why we deal with the nuisance properties.
Have y'all been in a position in working with the DA and No Dice to determine a number of homes that you would like to see torn down? I mean, I understand what you're saying. It's a success, yeah, to two homes in the 5th District.
Right.
But considering 20,000-plus blighted homes, I got to imagine there's dozens, if not hundreds, that there's a desire to rid yourself of.
Yes, and even multi-level structures. And, you know, one comes to mind just anecdotally by Ann Kirkpatrick being over in the 4th District, which is Algiers. I think, wow, this property needs to be torn down. So what I'll say is that all of our district captains, they kind of really serve as a chief of police for that entire community. They will usually be the lead point person for the blighted homes or properties or businesses, frankly, that might be on the list for No Dice. You know, London Lodge is an example of that. That was torn down because of a No Dice project.
As we obviously top of the news, let's pivot to this. Everybody's going to want to hear your reaction to it. Top of the news, the president makes an offer of assistance, whether that be federal law enforcement and or the federalization of National Guard troops. Would you be receptive to sitting down with the administration to see what it is that they in particular are offering?
You know, I want to point to when our governor gave us Troop NOLA. Similarly, people in the community were like, are you sure? Is this what we should be doing? My position in it as the chief of police is I am an independent. I don't care what side of your politics you're on. Everybody wants public safety. And so when NOLA came in, Troop NOLA, I was like, I'm going to embrace this. We're going to be partners. And we have proven that to be an excellent relationship. We work very well together. So whatever happens, this superintendent's going to work with anyone and everyone. I'm like everyone, too. I have my thinking about it. Our National Guard is actually the reserve to the military. They have a different mission. Their mission, if you will, is to fight an enemy. And we as police officers are not at war with our community. We have different missions. That's why technically, legally, we are defined as peace officers. But whatever the situation is, Ann Kirkpatrick is going to work with anyone and everyone as collaboratively as we can. And that's why you're seeing our crime strategies working. It's done in partnership with our federal partners, our state, our other local community, and that's why it's working. Because I'm going to collaborate no matter what.
You know, it's interesting. You've been around to a number of different cities in that capacity. Chicago back in, I think, 2016,
yeah. Right.
Embraced federal assets coming in and working.
Right.
And they had significant reductions in violent crime back then. We hear a lot of folks talking about this being performative, and I don't disagree with that, because I'm one that believes almost every bill that's introduced, almost every strategy that's introduced at the federal level, there's some aspect of it, they're political animals, there's some aspect of it that's performative.
Yeah.
It's all about, you know, what's going to be in their best interest. I'm just, you know, kind of, I chuckle when I hear people say, oh, it's performative. Yeah, well, politics,
yeah,
is performative.
Let
us not get mired down in that. But, you know, if I'm managing overtime, if I'm managing this and I'm managing that, and if we are going to say that human capital matters and boots on the ground matter, it's hard for me. You know, I put myself in that position when I was sheriff. I don't know that I could look the gift horse in the mouth and say, let's not explore this at all. No, I'm just going to reject it.
Yeah, I'm not of that mindset. But, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. In my work history, I have been a Memphis police officer. I have been with Chicago. I have been with Oakland. I'm now here in New Orleans. So I have been actively a police officer in all of these very high crime cities. I will tell you, I think Oakland needs more help than New Orleans right now. I think Memphis needs a lot more help than New Orleans and Oakland. I think that we're going to talk about sending federal troops. There are some other places that I personally know. Chicago, I was in Chicago in the year 2017. I had this unique view, if you will. I will work with anyone, but I also know the pressures of these other cities that may benefit a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing, though, and I think a lot of folks would say, well, you know, why Louisiana? Well, you have a Republican governor, and, you know, it all depends on the status of the activation of the guard. In my view, when I was sheriff, if somebody was going to offer me human capital for free, it's not going to cost me anything, depending on the status, because there are about four, maybe even five different statuses that you can activate the guard under as to whether or not you're under state control, the federal's paying it, federal control, you have more limitations of posse comitatus and all of that. But when you have a Republican governor that's willing to do whatever to work it out, if somebody said to me, well, I'm going to send you 50 guys for free.
I have to agree in that respect. And if people, you know, what was it, 4 or 5 months ago? We had Super Bowl, and then we had Mardi Gras. We had a lot of federal assets, and we worked extremely well with all the assets who came. We are trying to be partners with everyone. And so I'm certainly not going to, I am a person who's going to collaborate no matter what.
You know, a lot of times I think people don't recognize nor realize historically how this has worked. I know at the JPSO, we had National Guard in our intelligence center forever. Right. And in fact, they brought with them incredible expertise of new trends in technology that we just didn't have. And it was free. And it was like, I wanted more, not less.
We have analysts who are reservists who literally are on my floor right here down the hallway who support us in our crime analysis unit. So, you know, I just want everybody to work together to make us as safe as possible. So, again, you know, I'm going to make it work. And I do think there are other places I've just referenced that I think may benefit maybe a little bit more considering our crime trends are on a 50-year pace. So I think we've been doing a great job.
You know, the thing is for the public, though, and I think the difficulty, and I'm sure you've experienced it, I experienced it, you know, what is the definition of that safe harbor, right? I mean, you're not going to eliminate all crimes. It's not ever going to happen. The vast majority of crimes are not violent or nonviolent crimes. And that's pretty much true. Well, I think it's true everywhere, right? Your property crimes and that far outnumber your violent crimes. So what is the number for the safe harbor? So when we look back in 2024 in New Orleans, I mean, the murder rate was about 40 per 100,000. I mean, that actually put the city at like number three or number four in the country on a per capita basis, right?
Correct.
So, you know, people are trying to figure out, okay, so what is the number where we feel safe? And it's a very difficult thing to articulate. And I don't know that anybody really objectively can articulate that, but it's a demand that the public's looking for. And that's why I go back to this free resource. It's like, well, you know, How do you say one thing? You're looking for more people, you need more assets, you need more resources, but you're just going to willy-nilly out of hand decline and not even explore. And people are like, well, in fact, I got a call yesterday. So how safe can we be? I said, I don't know. How safe do you want to be?
I certainly understand that. But we also want to remember we are a city that's primarily a tourist city. We are a hospitality city. And so perceptions matter. And you got to think in terms of the perceptions that our visitors would have if they get off the cruise ship and the whole city is aligned with soldiers. Is that, will that have an impact potentially on tourism? And that's why I think you have to think through, you got to be a critical thinker. You got to think about your unwanted impacts. Would it make a difference? Would it make people feel safer? I mean, that's what you kind of have to balance. And because I'm not in that political arena, I'm just here to say, let's think it through, like you talked about. Let's look at the critical impacts. But as a law enforcement officer, I have one mission. My mission is to keep everyone safe and keep the peace. I am a peacemaker. And yes. so that's kind of where I'm focused on what my mission is.
I've heard a lot of people say, well, this could be disruptive. It's kind of interesting. I mean, every time when the chips are down and you do call them in, no one talks about it being disruptive, right?
Yeah. It's like, I know.
We seem to be able to work it out. Obviously, it takes pre-planning. You just don't want to go jumping in and, you know, whatever, obviously. And if that's what the Trump administration desires, well, then, yeah, that's a legitimate reason to say, no, we're not doing it that way. We don't conduct our own business that way, right?
Right. I think, though, NOPD has been on a very good track for a couple of years now of showing that we are making some amazing reductions in our crime. And so I think what we're doing is working at driving us toward there. But gosh, the end game is New Orleans is fabulous. And I want every visitor and every resident to know they are safe. And we're not there. But obviously, we have too much violent crime. But our strategies are working. Because we can't argue with the numbers that are showing us that what we're doing is working. I would probably, as I said, look at some other cities where their strategies are not making a dent, and leverage your help there. But I'm going to take whatever I can get.
Yeah, no, I just think we are letting the politics stand in the way of common sense about certain things. I mean, is it going to be the long-term solution? Absolutely not.
That's why when the president said he could clean it in 2 weeks,
that's a stupid statement. I mean, I'll say it. That's a stupid statement. Not going to impact anything in 2 weeks. Nothing in life.
But I don't want people to think that it would, and it would what would the difference be? Maybe we would lock more people up and get the criminal. I'd like that. That's it, keeping it, keep the evildoers off the streets, but then they're going to be released in 2 weeks too. So, I want a permanent change. I don't want a short-term change.
Yeah, I mean, and the federal assets that are non-military, I think, are 10 times more important than those that are military. We all work in task forces. When I think back to when I was the chairman of the HIDA, the High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area, for a couple of years, we actually funded, financed, and operated the entire narcotics department, narcotics section of the NOPD, because they didn't have the money.
Right.
But we understood the critical nature of making sure that there were enforcement activities relative to drug enforcement that needed to go on, because it not only impacted New Orleans, it impacted the entire region. And, and just putting it in its proper perspective. Chief, I just looked at the clock and wow, we just ate up every minute of the time that we have. Final thoughts real quick.
Hey, I thank you so much. We're continuing to press in. We're staying on track with all of our strategies. You see the differences. There will be more to come in a positive way. And as always, Sheriff, thank you for letting me speak with you and your audience.
Thank you, Chief. We know you're very busy. We appreciate it. Keep up the great work. We'll be right back, folks. That was Chief Ann Kirkpatrick, Superintendent of the NOPD, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.